Take your Bible and look at 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2. And it won't be as long as what Brother Eric said. Now hold your place in 2 Peter. We'll be going to Genesis here in just a second, so hold your Bible, if you will. This is a Sunday night message, and I hope by now you do know the difference between Sunday morning preaching and Sunday night teaching. Wednesday night teaching, there's a little difference. And Sunday morning, you just take a text, pitch a fit, and point people to Jesus. That's what you do. And because that's when a lot of times your visitors are there. But Sunday night, you try to help your folks that already are saved. That doesn't mean there's somebody here that's not saved. We'll deal with that. But here in 2 Peter chapter number 2, I want you to look at verse number 4. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example or ensample unto those that after should live godly. Now notice verse 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Look at verse 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelleth among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless your word. Lord, help these that are going to be listening. And I pray that you'd help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you'll notice in verse number 8, for that righteous man dwelleth among them. Now, that does not mean, ladies and gentlemen, that Lot was a perfect man. That means that Lot, in the eyes of God, in the Old Testament sense, had faith in God, believed God, and trusted that God was going to take care of his salvation. So Lot was a saved man. Lot was a saved man. But all did he waste his life. You can be a saved person, but waste your whole life. You can be a saved person and be a just person in the eyes of God. In other words, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. On the inside, in the eyes of God, be saved, but not be a Christian. You say, preacher, I thought being a Christian was being saved. Well, sometimes it is. But being a Christian, Christ-like. Christian, Christ-like. There's a lot of saved people that are not Christ-like. And Lot was one of those folks. Every person in this room, including me, every person in this room lived their earthly life for some cause. Either you're living for God, or you're living for self, or you're living for the devil. Amen. Everybody's room, including me, you're either living for God, you're either living for yourself, or you're living for the devil. Nobody can live for all three at the same time. Life is a precious commodity, and you do not need to waste it. A Lot was not mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 with the hall of faith. He's a perfect example of a man who had no spiritual energy or desire to change the society he was a part of. Jude, verse 22 says, and some having compassion, making a difference. That's what Christians are supposed to do. Make a difference. Holy Hills Baptist Church, if you're a member of Holy Hills Baptist Church, you ought to have compassion, wanting to make a difference in Dyer County, Tennessee. Amen. You should not want to just go with the flow. You should not just want to, well, this is what this, that's 2015. This is what people are doing now. If it's against that Bible, we're against it. Amen. Don't get mad at us. Get mad at God in the Bible. God wrote the Bible. We're for the Bible. Don't get mad at me because I'm just trying to stand for the Bible. Trying to make a difference in our society. Christians, Holy Hills Baptist Church, we've stuck our heads in the sand long enough. It's time we have compassion and do it the right way, but make a difference. Amen. Well, let me give you some things about Lot. Number one, Lot was a carnal person. Carnal in his choices. Look at, look at Genesis 13. Genesis 13. Genesis 13, this is back in the story of Lot. Look at Genesis 13, all about verse number 10. Genesis 13, 13 is the number of rebellion. 13. Now, this is just a side note. This has nothing to do with the message, but in Genesis 13, verse 13 has 13 words in it, and it talks about the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, that's a coincidence. Genesis 13, look at verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, and thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Verse 12, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Lot was a carnal person. He hasn't married yet. It doesn't appear that he's got a family yet. It doesn't say, but it appears that he doesn't have a wife. It's just him, a single man. And he's with Abraham, and Abraham's wanting to live for God. And Lot, they're decided it's time to go our separate ways. And Abraham says, well, you just look, you just take whatever, I'll take whatever's left. And Lot looked, and he said, well, I like what the way it looks over there. And he says, I'm going over there. And then he took his tent, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Look in that direction. Carnal person. He was carnal in his choices. He was carnal in his convictions. A person that's carnal in his choices will soon be carnal in his convictions. Amen. Now, this is not a sermon that you're going to say amen a lot to. Lot, early on, saw the wickedness of Sodom, and he saw the wickedness, and he had the opportunity, but he went there anyway. And then Lot became a captured person, a captured prisoner in his own city. You'll notice that there in verse 12 and of chapter 14, verse 12, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Now you'll notice, chapter 13, he just looked that way. Stay with me. Sunday night, I'm giving you the rest of the story. 13, he looked toward Sodom. Well, somewhere in between there, he done got his tent, and he done went out there and set up camp toward that way. And then in chapter 14, verse 12, he done got a bunch of movers and said, let's move all of my stuff, and I'm going to move there. Oh, yeah. Now he's captured. He's a captured prisoner. Now, listen, as long as he was with Uncle Abram, he was living for the Lord, because Abram's going to go to church. Abram's going to read his Bible. Abraham's going to pray. Abraham was going to live for God. And as long as Lot was joined with Uncle Abraham, Lot was living for God. Watch this. But as soon as he got away from Uncle Abraham, we found out what really was inside Lot's heart. Hey, let me say this. If you are not, young people, listen to me real good. Listen to me real good. If you are not spiritual enough to be spiritual, you better find somebody to hang out with that is spiritual. Amen. Until you can be spiritual by yourself. Yeah. Lot couldn't be spiritual by himself because he hadn't grown up enough yet. But as long as he was Abraham, hell, he was strong in the Lord. But when he got off on his own, young people, how many young people we know, as soon as they get out on their own, as long as they're attached to their Christian parents, they go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But oh, when they get, a lot of times when they get up, leave home, oh, we don't never see them again. Why? Because what was mom and daddy's heart and desire is not passed on to. Amen. You're going to have to pass that on to your kids. And let me just say this while I'm just right here. Brother Dan's giving me permission to walk around right here a little bit. Your kids will mimic what you do. Well, I may have the wrong sermon. I don't know. I'm too far in it now to turn back. You got a carnal person. You got a captured prisoner. And you got a careless parent. A carnal person, a captured prisoner, and a careless parent. Hey, this fella right here, Lot. Oh, look at chapter 19. Look at 19 and about verse 14. Some of you ushers, if you feel like it's getting hot in here, just crank them down a little bit. Don't pay no mind to me. I'm already hot, but that's all right. Genesis chapter 19, look at verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Now wait, hold the phone. Hang on. Look at me, watch this one. He started that direction in chapter 13. This is chapter 19. Lot. Between 13 and 19, you done married a wife, you done got daughters, you done married them off, you've lived in this stinking city for that long, and now in chapter 19, oh, you finally decide this is too wicked of a place for me to live. Hey, let's get up and get out of here. And his kids look at him going, his kids look at him and mock him, going, ah, you're just old fuddy-duddy. You're from the old school. Daddy and mama, you better get up with 2015. This is our lifestyle now. This is what we do. Daddies and mamas, you better start a whole lot earlier than that, trying to tell them how to go. I'm telling you, you got one of these little trees. I give this illustration a bunch of times. You plant one of them little trees, them little ones, and it starts growing crooked. You seen them in the yards. Some of them people that really take care of trees, it starts growing crooked. They get them one of them ropes, and they put it around that tree, and they stake that thing off and pull that thing so it'll start growing up straight. Everybody seen that?
Yeah.
All right. You take a big oak tree out here that's done got a crook in it. Hey, it's been out there 20 years. Guess what? Tie all the ropes around it you want. You ain't getting it out. So if you plan on hipping your kids and getting them right and getting them to follow the Bible, you better tie that thing off and make it grow straight when it's little. Well, glory, hallelujah. Ain't we having fun at the hills tonight? His sons-in-law, they looked at him and said, oh, we ain't listening to you. Amen. A saved man, but a wasted Christian life. He made all the wrong choices. Hey, watch this. I come up with this one. He chose the wrong land. Chose the wrong land. And sometimes you can choose the wrong. Hey, let me help you. See if I can. You don't choose a church by programs and all that kind of stuff. Now, a lot of people do. They'll go around, well, the parking. I don't like the parking here. Well, I don't like I don't like the front. It looks like a store. It looks like old furniture store. I just don't like. Well, we're working on that. We're trying to help. Well, it looks like. Well, we're trying to fix that. Well, I just don't like. It just don't have anything for me. Why don't you try to find a church that maybe don't have nothing for you, but you could start something to have that so somebody else can have it. Yeah. Amen. You say, well, they don't have this kind of ministry. Well, won't you start it, and then we'd have it. Well, they don't have that kind of, it's hard church, they don't have that kind of ministry. Well, you, look, you come, you start that kind of ministry, and then we'll have it. Amen. Have people say, well, we need to do, we need to start this. All right, you want to do it? Oh, yeah. Amen. Now watch this. He chose the wrong land, and he was holding the wrong hand. You can't hold hands with the world and then on Sunday come in here and bebop in here holding with the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
Woo! Monday morning, here you go. All right, world, grab me by the hand. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, jumping around all these places and got the lights off, smoke and the smoke signals and dancing with other, you know, people's wives and husbands and wiggling around. And wondering why you got troubles on every hand. Well, that's why.
That's right.
Look, I told you I've been in church all week. I just feel like saying some stuff. And then on Sunday, oh, let me get my Bible. Let me get the dust off my Bible. Let me go on to church. Lord, grab my hand. Oh, Lot chose the wrong land, and he was holding the wrong hand. How many of y'all remember old Kenny Rogers? Bunch of backslid folk been here. Old Lot was holding a hand. Y'all ready? Y'all know where I'm going? You got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. And when Lot was dealt that hand, he should have folded in the cards and said, this ain't for me.
Amen.
I'm out. Amen. Count me out. But instead, he kept that hand and kept playing with that hand and lost in the end. He was holding the wrong hand. He chose the wrong land. And he hooked up with the wrong man. Amen. Yeah, he hooked up with all it. And matter of fact, I ain't going to read it because I'm telling you, it bothers me. But over in chapter 19, about verse number 8 and stuff, and about his two daughters, I ain't going to read that. But I'm telling you what, you done hooked up with the wrong man. When you willing to get rid of your daughters like that, and that's all I'm saying about it. But I'm telling you, there's something bad going on. When you choose the wrong land, you're holding the wrong hand, and you're hooked up with the wrong man. Amen. And by the way, let me say this. You don't choose serving God by sight. Listen, you just don't choose, say, well, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do for the Lord. And you just, well, that looks pretty good. Well, this looks pretty, that looks pretty good. No, how about getting on your hands and knees and praying and say, Lord, I'm supposed to be the leader of my family. I'm supposed to be the leader of my home. Lord, I need some help. Now, I know you may not give me an answer in a week or two, but I'm telling you, I need some help and some direction on which way I need to go. My family's in jeopardy. I need to raise them and nurture admonition of the Lord. And Lord, I need some direction here. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Well, let me say this in passing. Lot married a worldly companion. He married a woman from there. Now, you say, preacher, I'm just going to be able to marry who I want. You can. You can marry who you want to. But look, don't get in that thing halfway and turn around and say, you done got in it now. Look here. I mean, when you got married, you knew, hey, ladies, let me help you. It's funny how when people are dating, they give each other grace and leeway. A guy, now I'm sharing my heart, this Sunday night, I wouldn't do this with a house full of people, visitors. Probably. But when you're dating and your boyfriend, he just drank a Dr. Pepper and he belches out like, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. Oh, that's okay, honey. That's okay. We all do that. After you get married, been married 10 years, they come in my office. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. He burps. You knew that when you was dating. And all of a sudden now it's a problem. Well, you give him grace then. Won't you give him a little grace now? And vice versa. Amen. Well, married a worldly companion. And let me say this in all seriousness. Now, some of that to try to be funny and keep your attention, but watch this. The Bible does say don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So listen, I'm telling you, boys, girls, listen to me, those of you that are unmarried, listen, when you get married, you make double sure that they know the Lord and they're saved. Amen. And it's best to find a good mate in church.
Amen.
If they not going while you dating, don't come up to me and say, well, I preach, I'm going to help them. Are we going to get in church after we get married? You know how many of them I've married? I ain't seen them since. And the only reason they started coming so I would marry them, and after I did sign on the dotted line, we ain't seen them since. Yes, I said it. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good preaching, Brother Jeremy. Worldly companion. Husband, wife, either one. Worldly companion. I'm telling you, don't go out in the world and find you a man and then fuss because he drinks and hits on you and all that. Yeah. Come on now.
Yes,
that's what he was doing when you found him. You want a good one? Find one that's saved, Bible-believing, in church somewhere. Amen. Don't fuss at what you get, because that's where you found one.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, it's a good thing I ain't running for no political office. But I'm just trying to help you and tell you. And then number three, and I'm done, he raised wicked children. Amen. Lot, saved man. Saved man. Believe God. He sure did. Wasted. Wasted life. Saved man. He He found his wife in a place he shouldn't have found his wife. Wound up married her. Okay. Now you done. Okay. Then do what you do. All right, Lot did. He kept his family in that situation, kept his family in that environment. That's what they did. Then he raised his kids in that environment. Now he's trying to, now he's wanting to get right with the Lord and say, hey, let's get out of this place. And everybody, every one of his family members are going, well, no, this is all I know. This is all I know. This is what I like. I'm not leaving here. No, Dad, Mom. No, I'm not going Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm not going to be a fanatic. I'm not going to be a holy roller. I'm not going to be in church every time a door's open. I just ain't going to do it. This is my lifestyle. This is the way I want to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Goes right there. Good saved man, but oh, a bad, bad wasted life. A lot of people do that. They get into custom. Hey, I've been in that situation. Man, come home, get up, go to work, come home, eat supper, go to bed, do the next morning, eat breakfast, go to work, come home, and make your own decision. Don't ask God about nothing. Just follow your own plans. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. And eventually they die and go to the grave. They ain't done nothing for the Lord, hadn't done nothing for the cause of Christ, and they won't let God direct their life. Amen. Well, it's getting tighter and tighter in here as we go. My friend, that right there is the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. Bible. That's what it stands for. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Listen, you want to know what God thinks about something? Right there it is. Amen. Right there. It'll tell you. Say, preacher, what do you think about you? I ain't going to tell you what I think. I'm going to tell you what that Bible says. Listen, the reason our country, I'm winding down. The reason our country's in the shape it's in, we got a lot of saved people. A lot of saved people like Lot. A lot of saved people like Lot. They're saved on the way to heaven, but I'm telling you, the whole family's divided. Hey, I ain't even told you this part. Lot finally talks his wife and two daughters to leave. Son-in-law stay. Lot, wife, two daughters. They finally leave. God says, when you leave, don't you turn around and look back. They're out there going, and boy, Lot's wife stopped. She turned and looked around. Because why? She's from there. She left. But she left for a whole different reason than Lot left. Lot left because he was like, Lord, I've messed up. I've messed up, jacked up my whole family. I'm getting out of here. His wife left, but her heart was still back yonder. Amen. Husbands, get your family on the same page. Everybody needs to be on the same page. Wife, kids, everybody, get them on the same page. We want to serve the Lord. We want to serve the Lord. I'm making my mind up tonight. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Wife, you get behind that husband. If he wants to take that kind of stand, you get behind him, help him push, help him pull, help him do whatever. Amen. And them kids, get them kids on the same page as you. Don't wait till them kids 18, 19, 20 and then try to tell them how to live for the Lord. And you ain't live for the Lord. You ain't give them no example. And now you expect them to live for the Lord when you didn't live for the Lord. Come on now.
Right.
Hallelujah. Well, let me end with this story. Captain of a ship looked out into the foggy distance and saw some faint lights directly in the path of the vessel. He ordered the signalman. He said, send a message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. There was a reply that come back that said, alter your course 10 degrees north. Yeah. The captain of the ship was enraged. His command was being ignored. He sent a second message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a captain. A moment passed and a messenger came back and returned his message and replied, alter your course 10 degrees north. I'm a seaman, third class Jones. The captain was indignant. He could not believe what he had received. He sent a third message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. The reply came back. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am the lighthouse. And you said, preacher, why did you end with a stupid little funny story like that right before invitation time? I'll tell you why I did. There's the lighthouse. And the lighthouse is looking at you going, alter your course. And sometimes we argue with that and go, no, you alter your course. I'm the captain of this ship. Bible, I'm the captain of this ship. You don't tell me when to alter. I'll tell you. Well, you can't tell the lighthouse when to alter. You're going to find yourself up on the rock somewhere and your whole ship will be destroyed. A lot of families are destroyed because they looked and the light of the Word of God was saying, alter your course, alter your course, alter your course. And a lot of dads, moms, boys, and girls said, you don't tell me how to alter my course. I'll run my own ship. And you'll run it aground. Amen. Moms, dads, this is my heart for Holy Hills Baptist Church. Yes. Hey, yes. Listen, I'm closing. Yes, we've grown numerically. We've had some ups and downs. We've had some hiccups. We've had the devil tossed to and fro and got everybody jarred up and on occasion and all of that kind of thing. And we've grown numerically. But I'm telling you this, folks, if we could just take the people that's here tonight, just the people that's here tonight, and look into the law of the light of the Word of God and say, I am willing to alter my course the way that Bible says to alter my course. This few people right here, this is not what we run normally on Sunday morning, but these people right here, if they would make that decision tonight, that commitment tonight to alter their course along with that Bible, we'll take Dyer County by storm.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I pray that be the case. That's the heart and desire for my folks, these people you've given me to pastor. And I love them. I want to tell them the truth. And Lord, I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be ugly. But Lord, I want to tell the truth. And Lord, I'm not perfect. I'm the worst leader they could have. But Lord, you've put me in this place for this reason, for this day and this time. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd give us, as we bind together these families that are represented in this home, these dads, these moms, and these young people over here, Lord, I pray they've been listening. Lord, I pray they would look at the light, and that lighthouse is shining in them saying, alter, alter. And Lord, please give us wisdom enough to submit to that light of the Word of God and alter our ship so we won't run a sail. I pray, God, you'd help us tonight. Bless our families. Bless these that are represented here tonight. Some couldn't be here, and I'm not fussing about this. So they couldn't be here, we're providentially hindered. But Lord, please help our church. Build our church, not only numerically. Build us, Lord, as Christians. We just don't want to be saved. We want to be Christians. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand. If you need to come, pray. I shared my heart. I hope it's helped you. You come pray about anything you need to. All to Jesus I surrender. Say, preacher, you didn't say nothing about being saved. Well, I tell you, if you've never been saved, never trusted Christ, you can do it. You can be saved. Being saved is not becoming a member of a church. Being saved is not getting baptized. Being saved is trusting in Jesus Christ putting 100% of your weight upon Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I want you. I want you to be the captain of my ship. I'm going to move out of the way. And Lord, I'm going to let you have full control. I'm putting my faith and trust in you. If you need to do that tonight and ask Jesus to save you, he will. He sure will. We'll be glad to take the Bible and show you how you can be. People are praying. You need to come pray. Come on.